So Jesus was an incredibly captivating person. I mean, he pushed limits, he challenged norms, he kept interesting company, and he was always good for a story, whether you wanted one or not. I mean, let's be clear, with Jesus' stories in general, no one was ever really asking for them, right? So folks would be like, hey, Jesus, here, quick yes or no question for you. And his response was, let me tell you a story. Or someone would say, Jesus, what's going on in this situation? And he would say, let me tell you a story. They're like, no, but anything that came up, Jesus always had a story. And he did so for good reason. I mean, he wasn't just trying to be difficult. In fact, Jesus used stories to make the most difficult conversations of life more accessible. Jesus told stories, parables, as we call them, to create more space for meaning, for more ways to be seen so that more people can feel included instead of a simple yes or no answer, which, by the way, never really applies. It's always a yes if or a no but or all sorts of things. So here Jesus responded with depth, with stories that could draw people in. He told stories that would acknowledge that life and the divine can't be bound by simple answers, but requires something a little bit more. This month, we will be looking at these fascinating stories, the parables of Jesus, for how they might speak to us. Now, one particularly well-known set of parables are known as the lost parables. And that's not like we didn't know where they were and got them back, or it's hard to find them in the book. It's just because they're all about lost things. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Jesus tells these stories in response to criticism that he is receiving for spending time with undesirable people. The well-to-do religious leaders were pushing him for sharing time and sharing meals with folks they considered to be sinners. Hear the story from our scripture as it's told in Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and those they considered sinners had all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man is welcoming sinners and eating with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until it is found? And when you find it, don't you joyfully put it on your shoulders and carry it home? Then you call to your friends and neighbors together and say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one you consider to be a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need not repent. Now, we could spend some time digging into the theology of words like sinner and repent, and I'm grateful to have those conversations with you at some point in time, but I don't want to lose the story, because it is a great story. There's so many layers to it and ways to approach it, so many different interesting things that call to us, and the first that I want us to encounter is this. Every person has inherent worth. What we hear in the story of 100 sheep and one wandering off is that no one is ever written off. The loss of any relationship to God is not acceptable. But then we see that it isn't just, okay, everyone's worth something. That worth is responded to with action. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd gets out there and finds. God will pursue you until you feel at home. And for those of us that sometimes feel a little bit lost or disconnected, this is an essential story to remember. Jesus shared this story to validate his efforts to care for those at the margins, the least, the lost. You see, as the embodiment, the very incarnation of God's love, Jesus was seeking out the least, the lost, and the forgotten. But then again, it's not like these folks just wandered off. I mean, yes, there are some folks in life who are just prone to wander. And there's also plenty of folks who have actively chosen to step away. And those folks are always welcomed back. But every lost sheep isn't really lost. There's a wonderful illustrator. It's actually a colleague I share, a clergy colleague, who works under the name of Naked Pastor. The only time I will ever tell you to Google a phrase like that. But they draw these beautiful one-frame cartoon illustrations, right? You know, just one simple frame that says so much. And of all things, this scripture, this parable of the lost sheep, is one that this comic artist goes back to over and over and over again. And there's one very poignant comic they illustrated where the shepherd Jesus, and you can see Jesus, carrying a sheep on its shoulders back to the flock. And the flock of sheep standing there looks up and says, "Oh, that one's not lost. We kicked it out." The sheep on Christ's shoulders is rainbow colored. And the canvas of this illustration could represent a plethora of sheep who have been turned away by a self-righteous, exclusive flock throughout the years. That sheep could be brown. That sheep could be black. It could be indigenous. That sheep could be differently abled. That sheep could be homeless. That sheep could be poor or uneducated. It could be from a different country. There are so many sheep being sent away from the flock. And then out of wanting to feel good about ourselves, we simply say they're lost. And if we ignore our role in that, observing a lost sheep from the comfort of the 99 majority, we are missing part of Christ's message in this parable. You see, this parable not only highlights the worth of that one lone sheep, but it is also reminding us of the strength of that sheep. It is not easy to be alone. It is not easy to fend off life's difficult moments without the benefit of community. And I tell you, most of us in the 99, oblivious to the wind and the predators because we're all huddled together and life's just a lot easier when you're in the crowd, it doesn't affect you the same way when you're comfortably packed in with the other 98. It's easy for us to forget how easy it is to be us when there's a sheep out there using every bit of its tenacity to make it through life. Those of us who have not wandered alone need to be mindful of the comforts we are afforded. And to those of you who have or are wandering alone, or maybe you're wandering in a smaller flock that you built for yourself of other folks that were told they weren't welcome as well, your strength and your tenacity are admirable. And for the ways the 99 have judged, shamed, and marginalized you, let me use a word of scripture. We need to repent. Every person is of sacred worth and worth going after. You know, the thing is, people aren't just kicked out for being seen as less worthy. People's worth is also questioned for being lost. I'm telling you, the 99 can be really judgy. Maybe we encounter this today. The parable has made its way into some of our idioms. Maybe you've heard someone describe, "Oh, they're a bit of a lost sheep." Have you heard this one? I've heard it a few times. It's when someone wants to say something judgy about someone else but wants to make it sound like they're not, so they use something that sounds a little bit more polite and a little biblical. "Oh, they're a bit of a lost sheep." I've heard far too many people described this way. Like I said, the 99 can be pretty judgy. You know, one particularly just memorable usage of that phrase, "Oh, they're a bit of a lost sheep," came from when I was preparing for a funeral. The deceased had burned almost every single bridge they had in life. The family was only doing the memorial to show the youngest members of the family that family is family. In fact, the adults in the room, when the kids were gone, looked at me and said, "None of us really care about them or want to do this, but we feel we have to." Now, I was in my first year of pastoring, and my boss was out of town, so I immediately called her, and I was like, "Janet, what do I do?" And she was like, "There's a book of funeral resources in my office. Go get it. There's a chapter entitled When the Deceased Was a Jerk." So I open it up, and I'm flipping through the book, and I'm like, "It's not here." And she's like, oh, that's right. I think it's called When the Deceased Was of Mixed Character. That's right. That's what the title's called. And so I flipped, and there were a few resources there, but even though there might have been a prayer or a couple pieces of language, It wasn't helping me wrap my mind around the judgment and resentment that was present and how I could pastor to people who had been hurt by someone. I actually mentioned the struggle I was dealing with the week of the funeral to an interfaith group I was a part of. And there was a rabbi in the group who offered me a brand new perspective. She heard me describing while I was sitting with the family and they kept saying they were a lost sheep. She goes, "Oh, Brad, you've got your Christian lenses on, don't you?" I was like, "Well, yeah, that's kind of my thing." And she was like, "No, no, here's the deal. Through your Christian lens, anytime you hear lost sheep, you immediately go to the story, the parable of Jesus. As a Jew, when I hear lost sheep, I go to the story of Moses. Because a lost sheep is what brought Moses into the presence of the divine." It's easy to forget that in Exodus, chasing a lost sheep is how Moses discovered the burning bush. So often in taking the approach to this parable, we see ourselves as sheep. I mean, take one look at our stained glass window and you just know, like, right? Jesus is the shepherd and we're the sheep. That's the imagery they've been pushing on us for a long time. But what if this parable has room for us to be a shepherd? Now, I don't ask us to take on this role because we're above others or it's our job to control other people or tell them what to do in their lives. We are not. But I tell you, if we only see ourselves as the sheep, we are abdicating our responsibility of recognizing the worth others have, and we've made life only about us. If we only see ourselves as tended to, we are denying our responsibility to be aware of who is missing. That we should be responsible for knowing who's not here and why. Jesus shouldn't be the only one looking out for folks. And he shouldn't be the only one realizing that not everyone has been included. We are invited to be active in the care of others' worth. We are invited to be guardians of others' dignity so that they know they are called to a place they can feel at home. And as my rabbinical friend reminded me, in that work, in the caring and the pursuit of others, we might be changed and experience the divine. What if in our searching for those who do not have relationships or places to call home, what if in our searching we might encounter the divine presence ourselves? Not in the comfort of a flock of privilege, but out in the world as we actively pursue the inclusion and worth of every single person. Amen.